Welcome back to the podcast where only one person today is behind the microphone. Rob is sadly quite unwell. It's not venereal, I assure you, it's nothing to do with his testicles. Instead, it's to do with his tonsils. We think it's tonsillitis, but one thing we will always say about this podcast, as much as we aren't family friendly, we are family friendly when it comes to our hosts. And T has also been unwell for Rob, and it would just not have been fair to expect him to A, do childcare, and B, feel like utter shit when in front of a mic. So, Rob is taking a little break for this week, and what should have been an untitled Trek show is now me just talking about a couple of bits that I wanted to talk about. So, feel free to skip this episode if you don't want to hear about old school TV and a little bit of history like that. And Untitled Trek Show will come back next week along with our normal main episode, so it will be double bubble for your money next week. Anyway, should we get on? First of all, Gladiator news. I am really pleased to say that the people that follow us on Discord, you can find out more information on that on channel84.co.uk, have been chatting about Gladiators, and they are somewhat in agreement that this new series seems a little bit more gentle than we remember. So the first two episodes of this new series have been really good, and the third one has been really good. Don't let me dissuade you from watching it. It still gives you that full-on injection of the 90s that you expect of the Gladiators. However, it does genuinely feel like the Gladiators are a little bit tamer, maybe? Maybe that's a fair word to say. They don't feel as much on the attack as the old Gladiators do. And this is most seen in Gauntlet, because I was trying to rack my brain with the wife the other day. Was it really that simple to get one end of the Gauntlet to the other? Because so far, in two episodes, we've seen everyone smash through it without really coming to a stop, which is a little bit disappointing. Jump over onto YouTube, before you carry on listening, and look up Gladiators 1997 Gauntlet. And you'll find one episode there, and that episode shows the very first contender through it getting beaten the fuck up. There's no other word to put behind it. The Gladiators absolutely destroy him to the point that the ref needs to come in and put a stop to it. Now, for me, it was just an assumption that this is a new series, these are all new Gladiators, so they haven't done it before on TV, and maybe they're just taking it lightly for the time being, because they're trying to judge how much strength should they use, how harsh do they need to be. Maybe they've been told as well, a little bit of the old elfin safety, that they need to be a bit more gentle, but fuck me. Ash got sent back in time, didn't he? So if you've not watched the third episode, this is going to ruin it for you, I'm afraid. But yeah, you've got Finley and you've got Ash. Finley gets through just about without much of a problem. And then you've got Ash. And so far at this point, Ash has done better of the two. Comes into Gauntlet and the final Gladiator, the final zone, boom, all the way back to the beginning, sends him flying head over heels. Proper hard punches, you know, and that's what we used to enjoy from the Gladiators. So what I'm really hoping is that this is the Gladiators kind of emerging a little bit more now and going, okay, we're going to up our game a little bit because we're sick of losing. The only other thing I want to talk about really very quickly with the Gladiators as well, because I'm not going to make this a very long episode today. Viper is well over the top, and it's killing it a little bit for me. Whereas in the past you had Wolf, and you had a couple of others that were very self-obsessed, Wolf didn't come across as an act. He came across as a wanker, and that was perfect for what he was doing. Whereas I just kind of feel if you get drawn with Viper in any of the games, you're pretty much guaranteed to win it. So this whole stupid bit of him hitting within 1 second on Jewel before they've even started, very funny. It was good to see, but then they should have just dismissed him, disqualified him, and brought out a Gladiator that doesn't take one hit to the head to fall off the podium. It felt very, very unfair when Finley had gone up against Giant, the man whose legs make my house look small. So that's about it, really, with Gladiator. It's still a really super fun show. We've still been cheering and doing the whole, how long are they going to stay up on the podium for, or how many points are they going to score? It's been a really fun family TV. And it's still well worth watching. So do go and watch it if you haven't watched it yet. But just be aware, right now, it's feeling a little bit more gentle than it used to be. But watch this space, it may get a little bit more violent.
This Saturday night on BBC One, Mr. Humphries is showing off the goods at Grace Brothers.
I'm extra.
Jim goes hopping mad as the Generation Game ambushes more confused contestants. At 7, the house party's in full swing and Noel wastes no time grabbing everyone's attention. And we mean everyone. With a rollover jackpot estimated at £14 million, Mariah Carey stars in the National Lottery, hosted by Ronnie Corbett.
Why don't you join me this Saturday on the National Lottery? I've got my ticket.
Then in Casualty.
That's enough.
Tensions run high for the staff of Holby General at 8:10. And with a hunt for a mystery attacker in our film No One Could Protect Her.
I can be scared, but I can't be helpless.
That's the look of Saturday Night on BBC One.
So today's main topic is actually linked to Gladiators a little bit. My little girl Kay cannot grasp the concept that we cannot just watch the next episode of Gladiators. Now, she's 10 years old, so she has grown up in a generation that has never had to buy a TV newspaper. They've never had to buy the TV Times or the Daily Mail and the Weekend and whatever equivalents were out there. She's never had to look up on the internet to find out what time a show's going to be on. Instead, if she's found a show that she's liked, she's had immediate access to it through streaming services and can watch it, on the most part, ad nauseum. I think the first time she came across the fact that she couldn't was when we watched Rowan Atkinson's show about him versus a bee, man versus bee, that was it. And she was disappointed she couldn't watch the entire series in one go. She is very much a girl that enjoys binging. But it made me think then, we have at least, I reckon, two generations out there now that have no idea what it was like to base your entire timetable as a child around the TV times. So whether or not you agree with the Daily Mail or not, I don't really care. Remember, we're apolitical. We don't really care about politics or what it is. That was the paper that came into my house. That's what we had access to. Every week, so every Saturday, we got a copy of their Saturday paper as well as the Saturday Mail. And that Saturday paper was called The Weekend. And it was basically your social magazine for the coming week. So it had home and lifestyle tips in it, and then you got towards the back and that was the TV times, and it had all your TV and all your radio from Saturday through to Friday. And that used to come, and the Saturday evening you would sit down with it and you would have a look at what was coming up for the week. So the first thing you would come to would be the movie page, and it would show you all week what movies were on each channel. And yeah, you scoured that just in case there was something you were going to miss that was really cool or you'd been waiting for. And for example, for me, it would have been things like Ghostbusters is going to be on Channel 5, or Batteries Not Included on the BBC on a Sunday, those sort of things. So that was your first port of call. You jumped onto it and you had to look at what films you were going to ask mum and dad to record on the VHS. And that whole brings in the whole Video Plus, which is a whole nother subject we could talk about. For those of you that don't know what Video Plus was, it was an amazing system. If you ever remember your newspapers, at the bottom of each TV show there was a 6 or a 7 digit number, and what you did is you typed that into Video Plus and it would translate it into the date, time and length of the show. So you could put a VCR, turn your VCR on, put your VHS in, code in Video Plus, and it would just record, just like modern recorders do now. It was an incredible system, absolutely mind-blowing to little me. Still, to be honest, to this day, it's really cool and really impressive when you consider what technology we had. But yeah, you would tell your parents what movies you'd like to record, and obviously most of the time they'd say, no, we don't have a blank VHS, or we're recording something, or we're watching, or just full stop, we forgot, so sorry, you haven't got it. But that was your first port of call. Then you would have a look at what was coming up for the week. And this is why I opened this little section by saying you would plan your week about what was going to be on what day. Because every day there was something particularly different. So in the early to mid-90s, I didn't get to watch The Simpsons. We'd heard of The Simpsons. We were desperate to watch The Simpsons. But Mum and Dad had heard of something called Ren and Stimpy and Beavis and Butthead. And to them, they were adult-themed animation that were crude and rude. So obviously not something for me to watch. And tied in with that was The Simpsons. Well, that meant I never got to watch it. And my friends watched it. I was always so very jealous. But one Tuesday evening, we persuaded Mum and Dad to sit down and watch. In fact, I believe it was a friend of theirs from the shop had said, it's a remarkably funny family show. You should sit down and watch it. So they listened to their grown-up friend. They didn't listen to their kids. No, we couldn't do that. But welcome to life of being a parent. And we sat down on a Tuesday evening on BBC Two, as it used to be. We didn't have Sky at that time. We didn't have Virgin. So we had to watch it on terrestrial TV, BBC Two, 6 p.m. And we watched our first episode. And I can't tell you what that episode was. I really can't remember. But from that point on, my dad has never missed an episode of Simpsons shown on terrestrial TV. He still sets his Digibox to record The Simpsons on Channel 4. Even if he's seen it a million times, he still records it and watches it that evening. So, yeah, The Simpsons became a big part of our evening. And yeah, originally it was just on a Tuesday and a Friday. The Friday had a double bill, if I remember. So you used to say to yourself, right, well, we're going to watch Neighbours, which would have been 5 p.m. Then there would have been the news at 5:30, and then we would have been straight over to 6 o'clock. Let's watch The Simpsons. And then after that, I would probably end up having to do my homework. So secondary school was a joy, and that meant sitting down and doing horribly boring stuff that was allegedly important for my future development. I'll give you a bit of an insight on that. I don't think much of it has been really relevant to me at this point. But there you go. Then there were other fixed days that I would choose things, and the TV times helped that. So let's talk about Wednesdays for a moment. On a Wednesday, I used to call that the sci-fi day, because BBC Two, yet again, this is when the BB used to put out semi-decent shows. Wednesday nights, there were Star Trek, and that could have been the original series, that could have been The Next Generation, and I remember watching those being really, 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 really small. And in fact, the original series would have been watched when it was shown on the millionth rerun on a Sunday as well, and it would either have been the original series Star Trek or Land of the Giants, which is just an amazing show I'd love to talk more about, but go and look it up. It was very cleverly done. Very, very similar era of the original series, and it just involved people ending up on an alternate dimension of Earth where they're all little people and everyone is giants and they're being chased. But that's neither here nor there. So Wednesdays were sci-fi, and it was either Next Generation or it was the original series. And eventually we got Star Trek Voyager again, which I joined really, really late because we didn't have Sky, so we could only watch these things when they came to terrestrial TV. One of my favourite shows, though, was when we got in-between series of Star Trek. And I couldn't tell you when it started, but Sliders appeared. And Sliders was just genius. It was a really, really clever premise of a show. It was really fun. It had a good set of actors to start with. The later series, don't bother with. They kind of killed off most of them. They then got one of the brothers of the main actor to kind of take over the role. And just all sorts of things happened with it. You've got whatever his name is from Lord of the Rings and Indiana Jones in it. As it was a good cast of people. But the premise of the show was simple. He created a controller that would allow them to open up a dimensional portal and go to exactly a different position on Earth they were in, but it would be an alternate reality. So there's a reality where they end up in the same city that they started in, but there's dinosaurs, or penicillin hadn't been created, or Quinn, who was the main character, is an evil president of the country. I'm trying to think of the name of the singer, the crooner in it. In one of the realities, he had a huge number of hits rather than the mediocre hits he had previously. And it was about them bouncing around, and the idea of the show was that the controller doesn't work fully and they're trying to get home. And of course the big oh no moment is they do get home, but the thing that he remembers being a sign that he would be home, which is his gate squeaking, doesn't squeak. And as they jump out to go to the next alternate universe, a man comes out the house saying, I'm glad I fixed your gate for you so it doesn't squeak anymore. So it's that whole bit where you're going, no, you were home. And that just went on. I don't really remember how it ended, but that was a Wednesday night. So I would plan my evenings around that. So it would be, again, Neighbours, bit of CBBC before that, maybe CITV, depending on what it was on, Biker Grove over on BBC, or maybe the ward and children's ward over on CITV. Then into Neighbours, let Dad watch the news, and then I would get to watch a bit of TV before having to do the homework. Friday nights, family night, that one really. 6 o'clock would come around and I'd get to watch something like Eerie Indiana, and then we would together all sit together and we'd watch Roseanne. And really, this is where children are missing out now. Not just with the TV times and not having to plan out and not knowing that they can not watch the next episode of a show without having to wait an entire week, or in some cases, an entire year while you get a new series. Instead, they've got the whole streaming thing. But family TV kind of has disappeared, because with the ability to watch whatever season and show you want, there's a lot more accessible. And so much of it is child orientated on the streaming services. We just don't really have any interest in watching it with the children. To be honest, it's mind-numbingly shit a lot of the time. I mean, I don't know if you've watched Hannah Montana, but Jesus Christ, you just want to slash your... It's awful. Awful, awful stuff. Or the ones that Kay's really into at the moment is Best Friends Whenever, which is when two friends hug, they can time travel to a different period of time, and they're being chased by an evil scientist who wants to get their time travel power. You've got Casey Undercover, which is Zendaya and her being a undercover secret agent, and again, it's just very mind-numbingly, painfully tedious. Or Henry Danger, which just is a weird show. A really weird show. But you know what? Kay likes them. I'm not going to take that away from her. But there's very few shows that we would sit around as a family. Now, before we come to a Saturday night, because that used to be primetime family TV for our family, there was one other night of the week that that really happened, excluding Friday, because that was one show, and that was only occasional whenever Roseanne was airing. And that was a Thursday night. Now, a Thursday night on BBC Two, I don't know if you remember this, but Thursday nights used to be comedy night on the BBC. So you got a whole host of things on there. You had The Fast Show aired. You had Harry Enfield and Chums shown. You know what? They may have even started on BBC One and then moved to BBC Two when BBC Two did their comedy hour or their comedy time. But one that we used to love watching as a family, and we would all come down and watch it. My two other brothers would come down, Mum, Dad, one of us would be on the floor because there wasn't enough seats in the front room. And we'd sit around our old CRT TV with the volume up, and we'd watch things like Third Rock from the Sun, which I would love to watch again, but isn't on any streaming service, and the DVD box sets come in at about £100 plus secondhand. Really, really hard to get hold of. And I try and avoid illegally streaming stuff because it's just a pain in the arse, and all I need through the post at the moment is a letter saying you've been DCMA'd and here's a bill from Paramount, whoever owns it, for tens of thousands of pounds for illegally streaming. I really can't face that. So I'm just going to have to put up with not being able to see it for a few years. But that was prime family time TV during the week. So I would get all the homework done, and then I would come back downstairs and we'd watch that all together. About 9 o'clock at night, I think that used to come on. So that was one of the evenings I was allowed to stay up a little bit later than normal. But let's get to the big television day. And that was a Saturday. And I don't know, feel free to send me comments over on Twitter, on any of the social media, on the webpage, via email, on Discord. I would love to hear how your family dealt with TV. Did you have specific timings you had to have that was allowed for dedicated your time? Or was it a family TV and Mum and Dad ruled the roost, so you didn't really get a choice and you had to watch what they wanted? For example, for us, Sundays, 6 p.m, Antiques Roadshow. Boring as fuck. We didn't get a choice. That was what was on TV. That's what we had to watch if we were downstairs. Yet on a Sunday, just before that, we'd get to watch Ski Sunday, which everybody enjoyed, not only for the awesome theme tune, but for the fact it was always funny watching people barrel roll down a hill when they stacked it. So yeah, send me in your comments and let me know What nights were your family TV, if you had family TV time? Were you lucky enough to have a TV in your own room? I didn't get a TV in my own room till quite late, and it was a black and white portable set that my uncle had given me. In fact, the first time I ever watched South Park was the first episode aired on Channel 4, and I watched it in black and white because that is the TV I had in my room at that time. I didn't complain, it was a TV. I was really happy to have a TV. I would have loved to have seen that in colour though. And yes, I have seen it since. Anyway, that's going off on a tangent. Saturday night TV. That was big time family TV. We would have spent all day when we were really small at my nan and grandpa's. Or as we got older, we then started coming to the parents' shop where we would play at the shop or we would walk around town. We'd see friends in town and we'd do things then. Then mum and dad would pack up the shop. We'd all jump in the van. We'd drive home illegally with either us three in the back of a Luton van or me sat in the footwell. My brother sat in the middle chair. Mum sat in the the passenger chair. Dad driving. So we had an interesting growing up, I can tell you that much. But we would come home. We would pick up either fish and chips on the way home from Chong's on Lattimore Road in St. Albans. Or not Lattimore Road. I can't think of where it was now, but Chong's in St. Albans anyway. Or Flame Light, the local Chinese, to my mum and dad. And oh my God, it was an amazing Chinese. And it still is, actually. It's one of the best Chineses you can get around here. And then we'd go home, TV on, and we would just sit there and we would watch multiple shows, one after another, really. I think, actually, let me just rewind it a couple of hours. Before we would leave the shop, Dad would end up doing the cashing up, as he would do every day. And I've got that really vivid memory, sat in the room, back room at the shop, bored because I want to go home at this point. And it being football season, so it's probably dark outside, it's probably winter. And all I could hear, and all I can hear in that vivid memory is the clicking of Football Saturday or whatever the show was, Match of the Day, was it on a Saturday afternoon? I couldn't tell you. Not a fan of football, so you just tell me what the name of it was. And it was that old-fashioned kind of clicking scoreboard where you would see each league and it would slowly scroll up the screen. So you League One, and then each team would roll up ever so slowly and it would show you what the scores were. And he would semi be watching that while doing the cashing out, waiting for Spurs' score to come up, because big Spurs fan, the old man. Anyway, let's fast forward back to the summer. We've got our Chinese and we'd get home. Now, if I'd been at Nan and Grandad's, we would be home about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. For us, that was brilliant. We would watch various shows that, okay, maybe, well, not maybe, they're definitely bad now. You've got Jim Will Fix It. But the one that I really used to love making it back in time for was the A-Team. Could not be a good episode of the A-Team. So we'd get back, watch the A-Team, Dad would get home, dinner would be ready, and we would kind of crack on with the evening. Then it almost always kind of started with a fairly late afternoon, early evening episode of Dad's Army. So the BBC loved re-repeating the Dad's Army episode, so that's what we'd sit down. We'd sit down and watch that, even though we'd seen it 100 times. And then we would switch over to Gladiators. And you know my feeling on Gladiators. Best show ever. But I am talking about an era of television now that Saturday night TV was hard to choose. And I've got a little list here, and I'm sure there were other shows. And a lot of these shows overlapped. So it really was a choice of what did you want to watch. So I've got here Catchphrase, Big Break. Okay, Jim Davison is a cunt, but the show was phenomenal. It was really, really good. And one thing I will say is, a Big Break was a snooker game. You had three contestants. They had a famous snooker player with them. They had to answer quiz questions. Snooker player had to do certain bits on the snooker table. Whoever got through would then get to the final bit where I think the snooker player had to clear the table, if I remember. And the more they cleared, the bigger the prize. And I still haven't found it, but there is an episode that was recorded out there where the winner won a hi-fi system, and Jim Davison's face just went from happy to incredibly, oh shit, what am I going to do? He obviously hadn't been told what the main prize was, because the winner was a deaf contestant, and the contestant's face was just pure anger and disbelief. So you then got Jim Davison going, I'm sure we'll find something that will suit this better. And I really want to see that because it was such an awkward TV moment. It's one of those moments that you'd expect to see on TV Burp with Harry Hill or It'll Be All Right on the Night or the Christmas tapes. It was that bad of a moment and so embarrassing. Coming back to the list, then you had Noel's House Party, which just legendary show again. Whether you like Noel Edmonds or not, Noel's House Party for me was a staple of television at that time. Talk about vivid memories. I am a huge Christmas fan, as you all know. And when Mum and Dad decided, or Mum did, that we were going to go back to having a real Christmas tree at home, I begged and I pleaded to be left the plastic tree and not have it got rid of. And we still got it up in our loft to this day. But I used to set that up in my room at Christmas. I had my fairy lights on it. And a really vivid memory of going down to Ramish the newsagent and coming back with a 6-pack of Coca-Cola. And it had the old traditional Santa logo for Coca-Cola on those cans. And sitting there watching my black and white TV, drinking a can of Coke and watching Noel's House Party and Mr. Blobby do terrible, terrible things. We've already said Gladiators. You've Been Framed. We used to love watching that. Now, I've put that down on a Saturday night and I realised that's absolutely incorrect. That was a Friday night show. And I've had to do some digging on that because I'm sure it was never a Friday night. But looking at the dates of it being run, the most definitely for the first few series, it was definitely a Friday night show. So that would have been kind of watch Roseanne, homework, then we all watch You've Been Framed, because it was one that we would all watch together. Before it got very samey and got more interested in those videos that, you know what, you could tell people were faking it. It was just there to make a little bit of money and try and forcing to be funny. The original series with Jeremy Beadle, they were very funny clips. And talking of Jeremy Beadle, Beadle's About, that was a Saturday night show. A show where, having rewatched it now, realising how upsetting that must have been for the people involved. But at home, laughing our asses about it. I mean, I showed Kay an episode of it recently, and a woman had brought a brand new Red Ford. She'd used her life savings on it. She was so proud of it. She parks it at Chessington and she comes out of Chessington World Adventures and they run it over with a tank. And you just see in her face the absolute horror and the upset and the gut-wrenching pain she's going through. And they just keep stringing her along longer and longer and longer until eventually Jeremy comes out and she swears under her throat and we get their famous beep and bleep picture and sound effects on screen, and they reveal, of course, it wasn't her car. But that is so traumatic, and we just all laughed at it. But when you actually go back and think about it, these people probably get PTSD about it now. Where did I park my car? Oh my god, my car's not here. Shit, where's Jeremy? Oh, he's dead. He has not got out of the grave. It's fine. The car has not been taken. It's probably just been robbed. But Jesus, awful, awful show. But I loved watching it. And a lot of them on YouTube were worth digging up and watching because some of them were just stupid. There was the one, they've got a young work experience student. They persuade him that aliens exist and that aliens land and they've come to abduct him. No harm to it. And you can see he's semi not sure it's real, but the fear is still there. That wasn't too bad. Bullseye, if you're going to go and win your bully bonus. And that rapidly became a good old beer game. So Bullseye, that classic kind of show where you'd got the non-dart player and the real dart player. And you know what? I don't know what would have happened if you'd actually gone in there and gone, well, we can both play darts. Would you have just not got through the interview stage? But if you ever want to play a good game with the dartboard at the pub, play Bullseye. So you've got to get to 101. The first three darts you can throw is with your non-dart throwing hand. So lucky if you hit the board. And then you've got to get up to 101 with your last three darts with your dominant hand. Always good fun, especially when you're a bit drunk. And I guess finally, then the last kind of show that we would have all watched as a family was Stars in Their Eyes, which, having re-watched it, I didn't enjoy it that much as a kid, but rewatching it now and appreciating that, yes, a lot of these people don't look anything like the people they're meant to, but they've tried their hardest with the makeup backstage. But then hearing their voice, there's one that did Freddie Mercury, and it's probably one of the most famous clips. He comes out, he doesn't look right at all. But as soon as he starts singing, good God, it's quality. It's absolutely amazing. And that went on for years. And again, another person, just Matthew Kelly, whatever happened to him? God, there are so many to talk about. I mean, I haven't gone into the Generation game. I haven't talked about Michael Barrymore, for example. But that was kind of it. That was what we watched as a family. And then that would take us up to about 9 p.m. I would have maybe played a little bit in between some of the shows. Blind Date. I forgot all about Blind Date. Now, we weren't a Blind Date family, but honestly, I think we were there only for the whole car crash TV. I guess social media is what it's kind of become now, hasn't it? You go onto TikTok and you're looking for those videos of people having horrible experiences. Well, that was what Blind Date gave you, didn't it? It gave you man, woman, sent on date, don't really know each other. And what you really hoped for was it to be a horrible experience with them both absolutely hating each other, either slapping each other, throwing food at each other, or just storming off because it was so bad. And that end bit as well was always gold when you had the two contestants sit down. It's like, so how did you think it? Well, oh, I think it was really nice. I'd like to see her again. And then they go up to the woman and say, and how about you? How did you feel it went? I would never like to see this man again. I couldn't stand him. Every minute of it was painful. And then just seeing that, again, it's heartbreak on TV. Maybe this TV is best left in the past. Maybe it was horribly traumatic and that's why terrestrial TVs died. But it was certainly worth watching back then. And then finally, that kind of brought me to the 9 p.m. slot. And I forget how late this was, but Casualty would be on. And I'd get to go and sit in there, watch the terrible things that Casualty would do. So you always knew what was going to happen. You always guaranteed that you'd get a scene at the beginning, maybe showing the staff and something going on. Then you would end up at someone's house or a playing field or an industrial area. And it would be, oh, don't do that. Make sure you don't do that. 30 seconds later, they're doing what they've been told not to do. And boom, Nino, explosions, car crashes, you name it. And that was Casualty, but it was good fun. It wasn't innocent at all. It was terribly done. And it was a fairly bloody affair, but it was what we had. Not a mark on ER, let's face it, but it was British drama. It was enjoyable, and that was the Saturday night. And I would plan my evenings around this. I'd be, right, if I'm going to go over and see my mate Richard, do I need to be back in time because Casualty's on? Oh, blimey. Okay, another one I've completely just pulled out of the air here, and I'm just realising I'm talking way too much now, but who remembers Bugs? A brilliant technology-based show. So late teenager early teenager at this point, really into computers, and yeah, we've got Bugs, this show about espionage spies and them doing things with little computers and little robots and things like that. You've got Craig McLaughlin from Neighbours in it. Jess, who was in various things. I think she ended up in Casualty herself at one point. And she'd been in Doctor Who as well and Torchwood and all sorts. But you would plan your evening around that TV times. And going back to the very point I made then, children, this generation, do not understand that. They've got this whole ability at their click of a button to watch what they want, when they want. And is it a good thing? I really don't know if it is, because obviously kids now get to watch this entertainment. We have the ability to give it to them, which is a good thing. But they're not learning patience. They're not learning that they can't just have everything at once, because it's there at the click of a button. Whereas we learn patience through, oh, well, what's going to happen in the next episode? We're going to have to wait an entire week to find out. Talking about Wednesdays and sci-fi nights, that would be the night The X-Files was on the BBC. I remember watching the Eugene Toombs episode, and that was split into two episodes, and going to school the next day to discuss with my mate David Rolf all about what happened in that X-Files episode, how good Gillian Anderson looked in it, what do you think was going to happen, and then we'd have that whole week to wait to find out the conclusion. It's a hard one, isn't it? I think kids have it, obviously do have it a lot easier than us, but at the same time, they've got a lot more examinations now. There's a lot more pressure on them at school to do certain things that we never had. I mean, who remembers having homework at primary school? I think I only got homework in year six, and it was the occasional piece of coursework, like write about a country. Really boring stuff. Whereas Kay gets homework every week, and she's got to hand it in the next week, and there's at least five or six bits of it. It's not even at secondary school at this time. So obviously they've got different pressures. Maybe this is how it's fair for them to have all these new pressures that we didn't have. I don't know. Anyway, what are your thoughts? Send us comments, all of that stuff. Let me know about what your family did for TV. What were your favourite things on TV? I haven't gone into children's TV because obviously we're doing the Channel 84 variety show, kids show knockout, which we talk about those as we go. Anyway. It's only a game, so put up a real good fight. I'm gonna be snickering you tonight. I'm playing for my aim, so you better believe I'm right. I'm gonna be snickering you, snickering you tonight. Thank you very much for giving me your time today. Now, I know Rob wasn't here. I know you're all sending him get well. Feel free to send those on social media. If you want to follow us on social media, you can find us on Twitter, Threads, Instagram, Facebook, Blue Sky, Reddit. Is that everything? TikTok. Just look up Channel 84 Variety Show or Channel 84 underscore Channel 84 and you'll find us. We also have a Discord community, which we would love you to come and join. There is nothing blocked on there at the moment, so as soon as you join, you get access to everything, and we talk about everything from episodes through to TV to gaming to retro gaming to films and everything else under that. So come and join us on that. If you would like to email us, you can email us on podcast@channel84.co.uk, tj@channel84.co.uk, rob@channel84.co.uk, and all of those emails will come to us. So podcasts will come to both me and Rob, and then TJ or Rob will go to those people. So if you don't want one of us to read something because you've got a surprise, send it to us individually or just send it to us as a group. Finally, head over to channel84.co.uk where you can find blog posts, all our links for social media, all our links for YouTube, and anything else that we post. There's a load of stuff on there, including the original Derek files that Cheap Show did a fantastic job reviewing and listening to. There's a whole load of stuff over there. So thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next week with two episodes. See you later.